Ecclesiastes. That's because wisest man that ever lived wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you get the Holy Ghost and the wisest man that ever lived teamed up on something, you know it's got to be good. Ghost. Now, if you get the Holy Ghost and the wisest man that ever lived teamed up on something, you know it's got to be good. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Under the place from whence the rivers came, thither they return again. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need Thee. We need Your wisdom. We need Your help. We ask that You be with our mind, be with our tongue, be with our heart. Help us to deliver. Help us to be concise and precise, and help us do all that we can do humanly. And I pray, O God, You might undertake supernaturally to move in our midst. May the message find a home in the heart of the hearer. And may it change us. May it encourage us in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have a really short message this morning. I only have 3 points, which is somewhere close to a record for me. I normally have somewhere between 7 and 10, and sometimes more. But I only have 3 points this morning. And they're very brief. They're very, they're not much, there's nothing deep about them. They're simple little things. Yet, in all their simplicity, they are profound. Most profound things, when properly understood, really are simple. Dr. Jack Hiles used to say, if you can't explain it and make it simple, you're not ready to teach it yet. If you've got to explain to your people, this is really complicated and you've got to pay attention, you need to go back and regroup and break it down and reanalyze it. Amen? People learn things in little bitty bites, not great big chunks. It just doesn't work that way. So, all these things are fundamentally simple, yet they are absolutely profound. I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, The Normal Course of Things. The way things usually go. The normal way things go. I'm pretty normal. And every time something abnormal happens, it's almost always a catastrophe or a tragedy or an emergency of some kind. I've decided that in my life, normal is what I like. Amen. I spare me all that other stuff. Amen. So I'd like a little excitement. Every time I've had excitement in my life, it's almost invariably been something I didn't want. Amen. So I'm against excitement. Give me profound regularity. Give me profound simplicity. Unless something out of the ordinary happens, that are normal. So why should we do that? So that every time and any time, anywhere and any place, something shows up that's abnormal, you know it's not right. If it's not normal, if it doesn't fit in the normal flow, if this is not how it is normally done, if this is not normally, think about it. Because any time you can look at a thing as some death, because you can look and you can as something how it will be. Amen. Now that's a great truth. And you ought to look at and mark and identify the things in your life and in the world around you that are normal. So why should we do that? So that every time and any time, anywhere in any place, something shows up that's abnormal, you know it's not right. If it's not normal, if it doesn't fit in the normal flow, if this is not how it is normally done, if this is not normally the outcome, then you have an aberration. You have a deviation. And you know that it's not right because it was supposed to have been done this way. This was supposed to be the normal course. This was supposed to be the normal outcome. Now, if you think about it like that, and you just take a look at life around you and identify things that you see every day of your life and say, well, that's normal, that's normal, that's the way it's supposed to be. And then something unusual happens. You say, well, hold it, time out. We have an aberration here. We've got a glitch. Something's not right. Amen? And how do you identify troubles in life? Why, they're the glitches. They're the things that are not normal. And so, I want to look at normalcy. It's getting harder and harder and more harder and more harder every day of my life to find things that I can consider normal. Because I'll tell you what, the music out there ain't normal. Amen. And the art out there is considered normal. Because I'll tell you what, the music out there ain't normal. Amen. And the art out there is not normal. And entertainment out there is not normal. We have enshrined, made a monument to, and decided to embrace and call normal every deviant behavior and thought pattern that man can come up with. We are working as hard as we can to take the abnormal and confer upon it the title of normal, while at the same time taking that which is normal and good and declaring it to be bad and abnormal. We're in a mess in America. We're in a mess. You understand? We're in a real mess. Now, by way of example and explaining my point, making it simple, which is what a good teacher is supposed to do, I want to give you some examples of the normal course. This is the way things are supposed to be. These are things you can count on. You know, without some normal things, life is just topsy-turvy. You never know what's going to happen when or where or how or with who. I mean, it's just, you can't make any plans. You can't have any stability in your life if you don't have some things that follow a normal course. You say, well, preacher, everybody knows that. I know that, but we take it so for granted that we forget it sometimes. So I want to reinforce it. Now, here's the normal course of things in relation to the earth. Look down there in verse 5. The sun ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again. Of course, it's got a course, it's got a pattern, it's got a track. Amen? The rivers run into the sea, but the sea is not full. Verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Well now, so the normal course of nature is for certain things to come about at certain times, and we have certain seasons and this, that, and the other, and then they pass away, and then, but they come back year after year after year after year, and we count on them. We build our societies around them. We build our cultures around them. In olden times, they built their religion around it. So why? Because it was predictable. It was set. We knew when the rainy season was coming. We know when the dry season is coming. We know when it's going to be hot, and we know when it's going to be cold. And we know that within, you know, just a day or two or a week, every year, we can see the signs of the change. The jet stream is up there and it brings the water down. It has a course or a circuit and it follows that year in and year out. And as the seasons change and the earth passes around behind the sun and our tilt and all that, all those things that affect weather, we can predict the springtime and the summertime and the fall and the winter. We can predict the cold and the hot, and we can predict the wet and the dry. That's the normal course. That's just the way it works. And it's always worked that way. So what does that mean? That means I can make plans. I know what time of the year to get the tractor out and plow up the fields. Amen? And I know what time of the year to stick the seed in the ground. And I know when the wet season is going to be. And I know when I'm going to have to be careful because it's going to be dry. And I know what time of the year the harvest is going to come. And I know when we're going to lay the crops by. And I know when winter's going to come. And we're going to sit back and eat all that jam and jelly and succotash and canned maters and canned corn, canned peas and canned green beans and canned peaches that Mama put up back in the summer. We're going to sit back in the wintertime and eat that. And we know how it works. And every generation does it. Every generation's always done it. It's always the same. It's just, it's almost boring. It's so routine. It is so normal. It's so predictable. But it's only because of that that the world follows a normal course that you can make any plans. What if summer came in December, January, and February one year? And the Lord said, I'll fix them up. I'll have summer and winter back to back. He said, wait a minute, you can't do that. We've got to have time to plant the seed and let them germinate and grow, and then we've got to have harvest. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. It's just so boring. I think I'll just change everything up, and we'll just have winter in, winter in April, May, and June, and then we'll just turn it into spring. We'll cool it down, but we won't get it cold enough to do that. You say, well, wait a minute, you turn the whole world upside down. Our economy would collapse. That's right, because you depend, you absolutely depend on, for your existence, on the normal course of things being established and followed year in and year out and year in and year out. And if something changes, it's the talk of the town. If you have a cold snap in the middle of April, every farmer in North America is scared to death he's going to lose his livelihood that year. Amen? Because by the middle of April, all the cold weather is supposed to be behind you. Amen? We like that normalcy. We like for things to follow its normal routine. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. God got it figured out. He said, now here's how we're going to do it. And it's going to flow in this order. And we're going to make sure it stays that way. How long? As long as the earth remaineth. He said, okay, is that the way it's going to be, Lord? That's the way it's going to operate. Okay, then we'll make plans. We'll develop our culture. We'll figure out when the best time to plant, when the best time to grow, when the best time to harvest, and blah, blah, blah. And if it's going to be this way every year, every single year, year after year after year, if this is going to be the cycle, then we can make plans and we can adapt to it, we can adjust to it, we can learn to live with it. Amen? And buddy, I'm here to tell you, we do that religiously. All around the world, every culture, every civilization, every race of people, depend on that cycle being followed. We look for the normal course of events relating to the seasons and the rain and the wind. We don't want any deviation there. We don't want any change. Amen. We want it to be just, it's essential to life for it to be the same. Now, It said, all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Well, you know, every little boy, I don't know what girls think about. I mean, I don't have a clue. But little boys, at least the little boys I grew up with, I don't know about the young men these days. We're a different breed of animal. But when I was a little boy, we were inquisitive. We wanted to know how everything in the world worked. My daddy gave me an old alarm clock. It was busted. Well, by that afternoon, I had that thing in 500 pieces. So what'd you take it apart for? I want to see how it worked. I wanted to see what was in there. Now, I never did figure out how to put that thing back together, but I figured out how to take it apart. My daddy bought me a little red wagon one time. I had that thing about a week. He come home one day and it's sitting in the floor, or in the yard, on the ground. He said, where are the wheels? We took them off and built this wagon up here. You know, this old cigarette piece of lumber, piece of junk. He said, you had a perfectly good wagon. Why, we want to see if we can build one. Amen? Little boys were in. We want to know how everything works. You got to be able to explain it to us. We want to see the innards. Well, I'm going to take the guts out of it and see what makes it tick. So every little boy, sooner or later, he said, somebody in school said, it rains. Rain runs down the hills and into the creeks. The creeks run down the hill and into the river. The river runs down the hill and into the ocean. Well, the logical conclusion is pretty soon the ocean's got to be full, don't it? I mean, if you don't know any better, the rain comes down until there ain't no rain left. Then it runs down and all of it runs into the creeks and the creeks into the rivers and the rivers into the ocean. Pretty soon all the water in the world's in the ocean. The sky's dry, the creek beds are dry, the river beds are dry. It's all in there. But it never works that way. You ever go up in the mountains and here's this stream, you know, you ever go up to Gatlinburg and the Pigeon River's up there? And that water's always running. And it's always running. And so where does it come from? I mean, if you get to the top of the mountain, half the water's going this way and half the water's going that way, where'd the water get through up here? Well, I'm there a little old youngin' and he don't understand all that stuff. That's amazing stuff. Well, then you get in school and they say, well, here's what happens. It gets warm out there, and the sun comes up on the ocean and causes evaporation. The water gets sucked up in the atmosphere, and it goes up and it makes big old clouds. And then the wind blows the clouds over the land, and the land is cooler than the water, and so it condenses, and the water gets heavier than it can, than too heavy. It's not a vapor anymore. It becomes a liquid, so it falls out of the clouds. Because of condensation and runs and falls down on the ground and waters the earth so that you've got water for your crops and the rivers don't run dry. And it's the cycle. It's the normal course of things. And we depend on it. It's got to work that way. If we don't, what do we have? We have a drought. You interrupt the normal course of things, buddy. I've learned that every time you look at something that God set up and fixed it as normal, every time you subvert it or change it, it always comes out bad. Nobody has ever improved on the way God set it up. His normal course of events is the best course there is. All right, now we're all on the same page, right? I had to go through that to get to this. Here's the normal course for man. The normal course for the world is one thing, but you ever think that there's a normal course for human experience? Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4 said, our text said, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. And so, here's the earth, and the normal course of events, evaporation, condensation, winds going about in their circuits, blah, blah, seasons, heat and cold, winter and summer, harvest and seed time and all that stuff, everything, all that's working fine. And then here's man on the earth, and he's got a normal course. One generation passeth away. You get up in their 70s, their 80s, and their 90s, and they start checking out, and checking out, checking out. They got their suitcase by the door. They're headed home to eternity somewhere. Amen. You're either catching the Dove line or the Gray line. I mean, you're catching one or the other. But you're going to catch that ride and you're going somewhere. Say, why? Because one generation passed it away, but every time somebody dies and everybody's over there lamenting it, over here at the hospital, there's some little mama with a big old smile on her face, with a little wrinkle red ugly thing tucked under her arm, looking at it, look at what I did. Just look here. Ain't that the prettiest thing? No, it's the ugliest homemade sin, lady. Now, nobody ever told a mama that. Because every mom in the world thinks that homely little sucker is the prettiest thing that God ever put on this planet. And buddy, you'd have to be the biggest fool on the planet to say anything about it. Amen. I don't care if you thought it was butt ugly. You couldn't say so. Amen. But that's one place you better lie and lie like a dog. Now, so here's one generation checking out. Here's one generation checking in. And they spend their 70 and they check out. That's life. People say, I don't want to talk about death. It's so morbid. Hey, stupid. Let's get real. People say, well, I'm a realist. Well, if you don't deal with things like they are and deal with the things you're going to have to face, you're not a realist. And the truth is, sooner or later you're going to get sick. And sooner or later you're going to die. I'm not saying we have to dwell there. Okay, you want to dwell on life, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, the older you get, the more time you spend dwelling on checking out. Amen. Amen? You know, when you're little and you just checked in, you want to check out the room. I want to check out room service and see what kind of mattress they got on the bed and let the shower run. How long does it take to get hot water? And I mean, you check it. When you're first born, everything's exciting and new. And you get down here in the middle and you've kind of got your education and your family and everything and it's smoothed out and you're just enjoying the ride now. But son, it won't be long. You're going to be on this side and you're headed downhill and the next bus stop is where you get off. And that's just the way it is. You got to deal with the birth and the life and the death. And that's just the course of life. And there's just no getting around that. It's the point when a man wants to die. I mean, the day is a coming. You might as well face it. You better get ready for it. Now, one generation passes away and another generation cometh. That's the normal course. Now, in that little span, my wife's got a little thing at home called the Dash, D-A-S-H. It's a little poem. And it's about a tombstone. And it says, born November 29th, 1944, died 22. So what's your life? Between born and died, there's that little dash. That's your whole life in there. Now, in the normal course of things, in the normal course of humanity, here's what happens to man in the normal course of one generation passing away and another generation coming. Here's what happens. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's the normal course of events. The generation comes in, it gets up to a certain age. We want to perpetuate our species. So we get married, we produce offspring that ensures that our posterity and our name and our bloodline and our species will continue on for the next cycle. But the normal course of things is you get married and have children. Well, so what does that mean? Well, that means that anything contrary to that's not normal. Like two men getting married, two women getting married, they can't have them young'uns. That's abnormal. That's a glitch in the system. Red flag ought to go up. You ought to say the normal course is You get born, you grow up, you find a mate, a husband or a wife, you have children, you raise a family, you grow old and you die. That's the normal course. And this thing called homosexuality is an aberration. It is contrary to the normal way things are done. It's not part of the system that God Almighty set up. There's no place in the Bible where it said, and God took a man and another man and joined them together. It said, and the man and his wife shall be one flesh. And a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife. And she's supposed to be able to conceive. So a wife is not a person of the same gender. A wife has to be somebody of the opposite gender. Why? So they can reproduce and bring forth children, because that's the normal course of human events. That's the way that it's done. That's the way that it's set up. Just normal. If it's not normal, it's what? It's abnormal. If it's abnormal, it's what? It's an aberration. If it's an aberration, it's bad. You know, even evolutionists will tell you that 99.9% of all the aberrations or changes that are made to a single cell are lethal. Every time a mutation or something happens to a cell, it kills it. If you want to be scientific about it, you'd know right away that homosexuality is an abomination. It is not normal. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. The normal course of things is you're born, you grow up, you get married, you have children. Amen? That's normal. And normally, people who can't have children lament the fact. They'll spend vast sums of money for fertilization clinics. Amen? Or they'll hire a surrogate mother. Or they hire sperm donors. They'll adopt somebody else's child and raise it as their own. So why? Because it's just normal for us, if you're not abnormal, if you're not twisted somewhere, at some point, it's normal for us to want to have youngins. You know, we have this urge within us to have somebody carry on our family, our line, our descent. Amen? We want a son or a daughter that can perpetuate. I mean, 10 generations now, I still want there to be a Hemsley bloodline. So, we get born, we grow up, we marry, we have young'uns. Now, what's the normal course of things? He said, one generation passes away, another generation cometh. So, in Psalm 37, verse 25, the Bible said, I've been young, and now am old. It's normal to get old. No matter what you do. You see all these silly, stupid little women running around trying to be young. Well, honey, you ain't. You can take all the Botox you want. Nancy Pelosi looks like she's made out of plastic, you know. Michael Jackson was made out of plastic. It took a couple of hours every day to put his nose on. He only had a hole in the middle of his face. That nose was made out of plastic. Oh, I didn't know that. No, it wasn't real. Every night he took his nose off. Put it over his false teeth and his contacts, you know. It's like that fella, he said, there was this beautiful opera singer. She had the most beautiful voice in the world. And this fella was in love with her. He just wanted to marry her. So finally he courted her. He won her hand. They got married. And they had their honeymoon. And next morning he got up, and she's got a wooden leg laying on the floor beside the bed. She's got her dentures in a cup. She's got a glass eye laying on the coffee table. She got her hair hanging on the bedpost. Man, I mean, she looked like the wreck of the Hesperus, you know. He woke her up and he said, Honey, quick, sing something. That's funny. I've been young and now I'm old. And buddy, it's but a fleeting moment between the two. You think because of the long summer of your life, you know, from 18 to whatever, life is going to last forever. I'm here to tell you, a work week used to be the longest period of time imaginable. From one payday to the next, from one Friday to the next was just forever and ever and ever. And anymore, I mean, it just like that. They just clicking by. It's unreal. Now, some of them young people sitting there, they don't see it yet. You say, well, we're rushing toward the end. We're not rushing toward the end. We're traveling the same speed we've always traveled. It's just the end is a lot closer now. When the mountain's 100 miles away and you're driving at 60 miles an hour, it don't look like nothing's changing. But when you get about 10 to 15 miles away and you're doing 60 miles an hour, it looks like the mountains are going this. And it is getting bigger, you know. Say, why? Because you're approaching them. You're almost there. And the reason when you get down to the end, you think you're going so much faster is because you're almost there. I was young and now I'm old. And I don't know where the in-between went. So, what's the normal course of the world? Everything has a season. And they're fixed and they're set. And they work just like God planned them. Amen. And you don't see nature overthrowing God's rules. And man has got a normal course. We're born, we live, we have our experiences, we have our little day in the sun, and then we pass off into oblivion. What is your life? And is even a vapor appear for a little season and vanisheth away. And boy, there's a point that could really be made there. I don't have time this morning, but that vanisheth away. When your life is over, it vanishes away. That means it's not remembered, it's not seen anymore, out of sight, out of mind. You're going to be shocked when you stand over the banister of heaven and look down and realize how few people miss you. I mean, you just vanished. Anyway, so that's the normal course. Now, point number three this morning. We have the normal course for the earth. We have the normal course for man. Then I want to give you the normal course that is normally left out. We got that? It's normal, but normally nobody talks about it. It's normal. It's as normal as the seasons of the year. It's as normal as the condensation cycle. It's as normal as one generation coming and another generation leaving. It's as normal as living and growing up and marrying and having children and dying. It's that normal, but nobody talks about it. It's a well-kept secret. Like the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers and the CFR and the, you know, can't talk about that. You think you're a kook if you believe in it. Uninformed if you don't know about it. You can't win with them. What is the normal part that is normally left out? Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You know what's perfectly normal? That everybody in this room is a sinner. And everybody not in this room is a sinner. Amen. The normal course of events is that you come into this world and you sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where are the exceptions? Not any. Now, if it's 100%, you can't get more normal than that, can you? How'd you like to have a fad or a trend or whatever that every single person on the planet bought into it? Well, sin is one. All have sin. It's normal, but it's not normally talked about. Then, In Isaiah, in Psalm 58, verse 3, the Bible said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Where does this thing start? It starts in as soon as they leave the womb. People look at little old youngins, and I do it, and I understand the sentiment. They look at them little youngins, and they say, isn't that the sweetest thing? Isn't that the most innocent thing? Isn't that the most precious thing? It is. Humanly speaking, it is. We don't have anything any more helpless. We don't have anything that demands our attention and our protection and our provision any more than little children. What can you think of more helpless and more needful than a little baby? Nothing. And they've never done anything good or bad. They are innocent. But they're born with a sinful nature. And as soon as they can manage it, they will sin. Normal. That's normal. I hate it. I don't like that. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the way it is. I wish there was a switch on the wall where you could flip it and say yes or no to it. Turn it on or off. But it doesn't work that way. If they get born, they will sin. Why? Because they were born with a sinful nature. That is the normal course of humanity. We don't talk about it. It's normally omitted. We don't normally talk about those things in polite company. We talk about how we're going to raise them and what they're going to be and what they're going to do, and we're going to send them to college and they're going to be successful and they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and I can't wait till we have those perfect grandchildren and blah, blah, blah. And never talk about the fact that they're sinners and they're on their way to hell and that they have sinned against God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, everything about that is normal, but it is not normally talked about. So why is it like that? Why, what makes it normal? Because they're of their father the devil, John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Like father, like son. It's just normal. Just absolutely normal. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, and he died. You know what's normal? They're born. They sin against God. All have sinned. They live their life. And they die. That's what's normal. That would probably be about 99% of the population of the whole world. They're born, they live, they do their little thing, they pass off the scene, they die. What could be more normal than that? They live, they sin against their Creator, and they die. That's normal. Well, except when we talk about it, we normally leave out that sinning part. Say, why? Because Luke 16:23 said, and in hell he lift up his eyes. That's why. You know what is really normal? Now, this is normal. This is a tragedy. I don't say this with any sense of joy at all. I'm just telling you the honest truth. You know what normal is? A man, a woman, a new generation get born. They live 16, 17 years. They fall in love. They get married in a year, 2 years, whatever it is. They have children. They live their life. They sin against God. They lie. They steal. They're proud. Whatever. They commit their sins. But they get married, they raise their children, they're sinners, they live their life, they grow old, they're still sinners, their children have children, and now this generation perishes. They lived, they sinned, they died. And in hell, they lift up. That's normal, it's breathing. It happens hundreds of thousands of times every single day. People that were born, lived their little life, sinned against their God, all have sinned, and they died, and in hell. That's normal. That is the normal course of things. It's just not normally talked about. Well, that's a pretty nasty picture, isn't it? Oh, blessed be God, I'll tell you what. I love the next part of this story. See why? Because you know what's normal for God? What's normal for God is not normal for me and you. So what is normal for God? The Bible said, John, a little Gospel of John over there, the Epistle of John. John, 1 John 4:16. God is love. That's just normally breathing for God. That's what He is. That's His nature. God is love. And God created all that is. You know that cycle about the seasons? That's God's handiwork. You know that cycle about condensation, evaporation, rain, and river? That's all God's handiwork. You know that cycle about one generation cometh, another generation passed away? That's God's handiwork. Well, now, God did all. God loves what He did. God loves God's handiwork. You ever do something, maybe you made a cake, or maybe some of you men built some project, and you get it all done, and it's perfect, and it's finished, and you look back at that thing, and you're just proud as punch. Amen? You just love it. And you put a lot of time and energy and effort and labor into it. And you're proud of it. And you care about it. And maybe somebody comes along and scratches it up or messes it up. You get angry about that. But you don't turn your back on it and say, well, it's worthless now. You say, well, I got to repaint it. I got to sand it down, get the scratches out. I got to, whatever it takes to put it back like it was, you're willing to do. Right? You're not going to let it stay all mussed up and messed up. Say, why? Because you love it. Now, God is love, and God is the Creator, and when He looked at this fallen race, He said, I can't just turn my back and walk away. So what did God do? The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, I'll tell you what's normal. It is normal for God to love, and it is normal for God to take care of that which He loves. That's normal. Normal. It don't get any more normal than that. Think about it. God looked down, saw an old sinner that had gotten off course. And that God of love looked down and said, I can't just walk away. I'm going to take that lump of clay and I'm going to fix it. That's God. That's just normal with God. Just normal. Wasn't nothing strange or miraculous or anything about it. That's just God. That's just the way God is. It's just normal. Let me conclude with this. Here's the not so normal course of events. Now everything we've talked about this morning has just been the normal. Just normal. Let me point out that sometimes things can happen that are not normal. Most of the time when things happen that are not normal, they're almost always bad. But there's always an exception. The Bible said, and some believed. And then it said, and to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, you know the story gets told over and over again. Thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people hear it. And they blow it off. That's normal. That's normal. For the gospel story to be told and rejected or discounted is pretty normal. But every now and then something abnormal happens. And some believed. I'm abnormal. If you're here this morning and you're watching Blood of the Lamb, you're not normal. I just want to know, y'all are a room full of freaks. Somebody say, you're a Jesus freak. Oh, yeah. Thanks be unto God. I did something once in my life that wasn't normal. My sin was normal. My rebellion was normal. My hard-headedness was normal. My ego was normal. All those things were normal. One night at 25 minutes after 11, Lot 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi, I did something totally not normal for me and not normal for humanity. I heard the gospel story. I believed it and I received it. Amen. Have you ever done anything in your life not normal? People say, you know, oh, we did this and we did that, and they talk about some event where they did. It's pretty normal stuff. You just think you're unique. You're not. You just think you're special. Think not more highly of yourself than you ought to think, buddy. Listen, there's about 6 billion people on the planet today, and there's been another 5 or 6 billion before them. And honey, there ain't nothing that can be done, ain't been done plenty times before you come around. Don't deceive yourself. You're not unique. You're not special. In the overall scheme of things, we couldn't find you. Amen? But if you ever trusted Jesus Christ, buddy, you put yourself in a small group, you are abnormal. You didn't follow the normal course of events. You live, or you're born, you live, you sin, you die, and in hell you lift up your eyes. But when you trusted Christ, you changed the program, and you did something not normal. But you sure did something wonderful. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Thank God. I'm saved. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.